Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
If you're going to play this song, you got to let it like get to the point where there's a little bit of an adrenaline rush. Sit back and enjoy, because it's going to be 15 minutes.
It's a little bit of a build-up. Like,
here we go.
Real life Tom behind the glass. He's vibing right now.
Yes.
Here we go.
We. Tommy, there's only one chaser for that song. That's the Andrew Monasterio home run call.
And it's a deep fly ball, deep going way back. And it's on to the grassy berm. There's Monasterio. There's your home run for the Boston Red Sox. Put it on the board.
All right.
Impeccable timing.
There's a lot going on there. That was my home run call, my first batter ever. Like that. Now Michaels, do you believe in miracles? Did we have a call from the final goal? Who were the announcers for that? I should know this.
I believe Mike Tirico is on the call.
It was Tirico and Eddie Olczyk.
Can we effort that information? I would like
Mike
to get.
Tirico.
I got it, Doug. They said it. All right.
We got that.
So, Mike Tirico, we got to get that. We have to get that call because I want to see where it ranks. We could put up a poll. Top three calls: Mike Tirico's call, Al Michaels' call, the Andrew Monasterio home run call. All right, guys, Gordo, Sammy, with us from Play Tessie. I'm Rob Bradford, Blaze Ball Isn't Boring, Tommy Behind the Glass. And Brian Abraham, Dreammaker Farm Director, is here. I was already grilling him about Justin Gonzalez, but we get a little bit sidetracked because his family's in turmoil because they're half Canadian. But still, like, he's in the break. He smoothed everything over. He talked out his wife down, said everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
His son is now fully American, he said. He's like, this was basically I believe he said, right? Said, Dad, I know that I was born in Canada and I go to school in America. Whatever team wins, I'm going to disavow the other one. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Very close to that.
All right. Okay. All right. All right, Gordo and Sammy, who wants to go first to grill Brian about whatever you want to grill him about?
Sorry, I'm still laughing from that. So on the topic of learning new names this time of year, that being the theme, I want to know about Gage Zeal, who the Red Sox acquired from the Chicago White Sox. How's he adjusted, and what should Red Sox fans be looking out for when it comes to Mr. Zeal?
Yeah, obviously came very recently from before the offseason ended, but I think right now really just getting acclimated to what we do here in terms of our resources, our programming, the staff, has been with a couple organizations so far. This would be his third. But really for us, I think the most important thing, whenever we acquire a new player, especially a younger player, is getting an understanding of what they've been working on, what they feel like they do well. And then we balance that out with our plan for them and our expectations for them. So, he throws a lot of strikes. He's mature. He has a really good understanding of his stuff and how he wants to improve physically. So, we've been really pleased with what we've seen so far. A guy who's reached AA at certain points, but also pitched in high A for a lot of time. So we'll see where kind of things lay out as we progress throughout camp. But I'm really excited about the kid. He seems to be really happy and excited to be here. Pleased to have, I think, some very specific goals that he needs to improve upon on the rubber, on the mound. One of those, not surprisingly, is going to be adding some velo, which we do with a lot of our guys. But I think just the training and the programming is going to be new to him, and getting him acclimated to that is a really important thing as he starts with a new organization.
Gordo, before you go, there was a guy, the star of camp so far, not besides Mikey Romero, star of camp so far. Did you watch the game yesterday?
I did.
Okay. Who am I going to mention the star of camp? The most impressive performance yesterday.
Brendan Ward?
Cooper Adams.
Cooper Adams.
Good one.
Cooper Adams struck out the side, blew away whatever Twins hitters were there. I believe he was undrafted, right? He's a pitcher.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen Cooper Adams pitch before, and all I know is that when I see him pitch, he strikes out every single hitter that he faced.
Yeah, a guy who really made some significant strides last year. Got a cup of coffee in AAA, but spent the second part of the season in AA. But I think he's competing for a spot in Worcester this year, and I think if he keeps going over the big league side and striking out the side, we'll be having bigger conversations. But his velo jumped significantly over the past 12 months. I believe yesterday he was 97, but he's
really?
Been 98, 99 at times. Big frame, big body, but a really live arm that gets swing and misses in the zone, and that plays.
It played yesterday. All right, Gordo, what do you got?
So, yeah, I want to talk about Peyton Tolle. I know we talked about him last week, but he pitched yesterday, two innings, debuted what it was registering as a sinker, but I assume that was the two-seamer that you talked about last week, and a new grip on the changeup. Talk about what you saw from Peyton Tolle yesterday.
Yeah, he was he was impressive. Obviously, he did give up one homer on a heater, but you know, I think the sinker is going to just add another. You know, he's going to be a guy who's going to lean on his heater, his four seam, adding a two seam, and then having a cutter as well. That's a three pitch, you know, firm fastball monster, I guess you could call it. His changeup has improved. Some adding some more depth to it, and then you know he used his curveball for more get me overs early in the count, which you know I think if he gets ahead of the count, he'll be able to rip that off a little bit more for some chase. So you know he is young, he's developing, he's learning as he goes, but you know I really believe with the added sinker to get that either in on left-handed hitters or early in the count strike against right-handed hitters, so we can open up his repertoire deeper into a count when he's ahead, is really going to allow him to have the success that we want long term. But you know, the reality is he's going to be driven by his fastball. It is a unique one, as is well documented. But needing to have other pitches, having secondaries that he can throw in the zone and for chase is going to be really important as well. But he's shown the ability to improve those. And obviously still early in camp, but we're really pleased with what we've seen so far.
Brett Abraham, farm director, Dreammaker, with us. And you had made mention, we talked about Cooper Adams, and there's always a guy that even maybe for you guys, they show up and like, ooh, wow. Look at that. You look at what you did, and you've taken this next step. And then all of a sudden we're talking about him. I mean, last year you rattle off the Conley Early, Braden Clark, those sort of guys. I had made mention of when Ryan Brazier showed up out of nowhere wearing a Dick's Sporting Goods uniform, and next thing you know, he's you know being part of a key part of the Major League team. Is there anybody that came to camp and you guys are sort of buzzing about, like, oh, like they've taken a step up?
I like to think there's a lot of guys. Definitely a few that stick out. You know, one in particular who threw a live the other day, Hayden Mullins.
Okay.
Left-handed starter, was at AA last year. He put on about 10 pounds, and that was really one of the things that has always been a struggle for him. His velo jumped in his live the other day. He was up to 95. He hasn't been able to stay healthy for an entire season, has had a couple bumps and bruises, so adding the weight for durability, for workload is really important. And then obviously the velocity as well. Not just his fastball, his secondary. So a guy who I think is very interesting, his fastball plays really well, even at the velo it was last year. But I would not be surprised to see someone like that make an impact in the big leagues at some point this year, considering where he is in his timeline, roster status, and the amount of time he spent developmentally. But he has been impressive so far here in camp.
All right, guys, what else you got?
Well, I'm kind of bummed. My question was going to be exactly about Hayden Mullins.
That's
so
crazy.
It's kind of I was muttering
how
this to Gordo.
You know what? Your instincts are keen.
You know, so, ball.
Thank you.
Ball nor Sammy.
Means a lot. Bradfo doesn't agree, but thank you. I appreciate it.
No, okay. Okay. All right.
Here we go. We're going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Before. So here's my thing. So we were talking about the lineup, right? And Duran's hitting third. And Sammy was going, and Sammy, if I'm misrepresenting this, I apologize. But Sammy was basically like doing the whole, well, he's hitting third, he's going to hit more home runs. And I said, Sammy, how many times do we have to do this? Where a guy moves in the order, it's not like they'd be like, they basically change your batting stance and swings harder. this is how people think. Oh, they're going to hit, and they cited that his slugging percentage went up like 51% points or whatever in that spot. You know, ball. So when a guy is moved from one spot in the order to another, tell me, like, what is the thinking there from the player's perspective?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different factors that, that come into this. I would say naturally for a player.
By the way, that's him saying to Sammy, "I like you personally. I respect your opinion."
I do think if you're hitting, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the order, there is probably an internal part of every player that says, "Well, I need more power. I need to drive the baseball more." But I would just say the hope is that they are maintaining the player who they are, and whether it be AC wanting to balance the lineup a certain way or having good matchups against particular pitchers, that there's different opportunities for guys to hit in different spots. I'd argue that the better the hitter is, the higher in the order they should be.
Well, that's how it works now.
Yeah. But there's different reasons for different changes. I don't know if I would say if I move X player into this part of the order that they're going to hit more home runs.
Oh, okay. Save that.
So, Sorry. Allow me to apologize, Bradford. The way I represented my take might have been off. I more so meant that Duran will see different pitches and he'll be hitting in different scenarios when he's hitting third, and that may allow him to hit more home runs. I don't mean he's going to change his swing and change his approach in a big way. It's just a different spot in the lineup.
That's the equivalent of saying, you know, I didn't mean to say that I don't like oranges. I like orange juice or something like that. What are you talking about? You said one thing.
No. I think that's a false equivalency first. Okay, but no, I think he'll see, you know, he'll be hitting with guys on base more often. So I think he'll see better pitches is the short way of saying it.
Well, okay. So finish your question to Brian, whatever that was.
Well, my question was going to be basically, please put Hayden Mullins over the top, but I heard you say he may play a role in the big league team this year. When you say that, are you thinking more bullpen, or is this a guy you see getting a start here and there?
Well, we definitely see him as a starter. Hard to predict what the season will look like as we roll into, you know, the summer and later in the year. But I think definitely we have a handful of guys in Worcester that will be major league starting depth. And I think, you know, quite honestly, we have a handful of guys that are in Double A that will be in the Double A rotation that could very easily be in conversations for depth or impact arms later this year. For the first time in a bit, you know, we have starting depth up and down our organization. That's obviously evident by some of the trades we have made. So a lot of the guys that are still with us that are working, to expect them to potentially be an arm that is needed or an arm that could be impactful at some point this year, whether it be out of the bullpen or as a starter, I don't think is unrealistic. So hard to say. You know, we try to give these guys opportunities to start. We try to give these guys opportunities to maybe kind of come out of the pen in certain situations. But, you know, we see him as a starter, but if there's a point where maybe he's needed out of the bullpen, similarly to a Peyton Tolley or a Connolly Early or whoever it may be, I think, you know, these guys are here to make an impact in Boston, and whatever role that is, I'm sure they will be ready to accept it.
All right, Gordo, one last one for Brian Abraham, Dreammaker Farm Director, before we get a hit break. What do you got?
All right, Dreammaker, I got one more for you. Couple of guys that Roman Anthony has been quoted after facing saying they look really good. Juan Valera from the right side, Jake Bennett from the left side. What have you seen from those guys? Jake Bennett, obviously the new in camp. What have you seen from those guys that you think gives them so much potential?
Yeah, I was there for the Juan Valera one. You know, Juan hits 100 when he wakes up in the morning, so that's a pretty good start. And he has a sweeper that breaks pretty significantly across the plate. So I watched Roman face him. He just has really good stuff. He's a young, powerful starting pitcher for us that I really think the sky's the limit. There's a lot that goes into having success as you move up the development path and up the levels, but in terms of velocity, in terms of secondaries, in terms of a swing and miss secondaries, and quite honestly, a swing and miss fastball, he has that. And he pounds the zone, which is really, really important because it's one of the harder things to teach for pitchers. You know, and Jake, I think just a long limb guy that has really good extension. His fastball is going to jump up on you. His changeup, he changed the grip on his changeup. We've seen more depth on that, so it's a tougher read for hitters. So, you know, I watched his side this morning, just him working with Bales in our pitching group, just to see the willingness to be open-minded and make adjustments and work in a different way than maybe he had previously the last couple of years. And he was hurt for a significant amount of time his last season and into the year before. So it has just embraced our pitching programming and our development on that end. And, you know, I think a guy who has put his name on the map, not that it wasn't already, but a new player, that when people and hitters face him, they oftentimes dictate how good an arm can be. And when guys are coming back saying, who's this guy? That's always a good sign.
Excellent stuff, Brian Abraham. Good questions, guys. Good job, fellas.
Thank you.
You're hitting your stride as we're heading into the second half of the show, Baseball's and Boring Show. So I know that you have family members or family things to tend to. Again, if there was only a T-shirt to make you feel better, Baseball Isn't Boring, my friend. Right? Correct?
How about that?
Yeah. Your son is our brand ambassador.
Baseball Isn't Boring, A.
A. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, Brian Abraham, Dreammaker Farm Director, good stuff. We're going to post that on the Baseball Isn't Boring feed so everybody can pick it apart to say, yes, you were right or you weren't right. But you always get people excited about players. This time is time of the year to do that. Congratulations.
That's I'm a hype man.
You are the hype man. It was for last year. It was for Nelly Taylor.
There's still excitement around Nelly.
No, I know. Well, the good thing is I walk by, I see Nelly Taylor. I'm like, now I know Nelly Taylor. I know he's just not just Christian Campbell's roommate. I know that he has all the potential that he has. And when he makes it, much like Mikey Romero.
Yeah.
Unlike these two jamokes, I have not forgotten about Mikey Romero.
Some good ball talk. One thing we like to say in the development space is, development is never linear.
Ooh.
So
hold on, let me write that.
Some good ball talk.
You guys got that?
Yeah, that's important for players. Baseball's really hard.
You gonna put it on a shirt?
Yeah. Do you think that the people wearing the shirt would know what linear meant?
I think yes.
No, the answer is no.
Baseball isn't linear.
We have smart players.
Yeah, get smart players.
Baseball isn't linear.
All right. 617-779-7937. Tommy Two Tone is gonna trend, and I suspect he is going to give you the final score of the gold medal game. You're in luck, in case you didn't know what the score was. All right, we'll see you back after this break.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It took 46 long years. Brad Foe was actually in high school, he told me, the last time the USA won the gold. But the United States has finally captured gold again in men's hockey. Jack Hughes scored the game winner in overtime. Final of that one was 2-1. America is world champions once again. The Celtics are in action tonight from LA to take on the Lakers. Boston is looking for their fourth straight road win. Tip off for that one is at 6:30. The Red Sox won their first spring training game yesterday by a final score of 7-2. They play their second one today against Toronto. You can listen to that one right here on WEEI 93.7, the Shaw's and Star Market. Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's. Proud to be local since 1860. First pitch is at 1 o'clock. And some sad news in the NFL yesterday. It was announced that Vikings wide receiver Rondale Moore had passed away. Moore was only 25 years old. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's your trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Three iconic calls. What a day. If we could put up a poll, which is better? The Miracle on Ice, Al Michaels, the Mike Tirico, that call that we just had, Team USA winning the gold just a few moments ago, or the Andrew Monasterio home run call. It's close, fellas. It's close.
The bar is really being set for broadcasting. Right now, it really just feels like an elite time for.
It really is. It's the. I feel like we're in the golden era, and no pun intended. The golden era of home of calls. It's put it on the board.
It's like all these pitchers are hitting 100 miles an hour now. More and more guys just showing up, knowing exactly what to do. And that's it's the same in broadcasting. Rob, you're setting the standard.
Well, to top everything off, and I'm going to ask Tom, to pull up on my Twitter feed, you can also find my call of the Mikey Romero hit, 2 RBI hit, which will serve two purposes. It'll add a fourth call to the iconic calls and also remind these guys that Mikey Romero exists. So I feel like that's gonna be a good exercise for us to implement. Correct? All right, Tom, is that all right?
I got it. You want it?
Yeah, let's hear it. Ground ball to second, off the glove of the second baseman. That's going to score two runs. Michael Romero hit it on the button. That'll go down as a two RBI hit, two run hit. Mikey Romero gives the Red Sox a lead, 3-2. Feathered in the cap for the former first round pick. Good piece of hitting. Get down 0-2, get to 1-2, then boom. Hits the one hopper, past the diving infielder, Schofield. As we said, Red Sox now carry a 3-2 lead heading into the top of the seventh here with still nobody out. All right, if we're going to do a 30 for 30 on that call, well, first of all, it's a reminder to you guys that Mikey Romero was a former first rounder. Put it on the board. You got that?
No, I got it. First rounder.
Former first rounder. And there's a subtlety, a little behind the scenes. I had no idea who the second baseman was. Finally I get to that point where I can look up and I think, oh, it's Schofield. Now, if you ask me who Schofield is, I have no idea. All I know is the guy who made the diving play, went off his glove, and gave Mikey Romero that glory that we just heard. So
they're forever connected.
Can we get if we can't get the Monasterio home run ball, can I get the Mikey Romero single ball, please? I got to get something from that first game, right? Correct?
You know what we should have done, and I think we're a bit too late for this. We missed the boat. We should have done a campaign for Mikey Romero to be on Team Italy for the World Baseball Classic.
He kind of should be,
yeah,
right?
Wouldn't he be?
I'm looking at their infield right now. It's Sam Antonacci, who admittedly, I don't know who that is, John Birdie, Zach DiCenzo, Andrew Fisher, and then Miles Mastroboni.
But here's the thing, and Alex Cora downplays this, but I don't necessarily agree about the whole, like, oh, it doesn't matter if you're in camp to make the team. I don't agree with that because Mikey Romero has a much better chance of making the Boston Red Sox in the position that he is. I'm not talking about some of these other guys. Every situation's different. But Mikey Romero has a much better chance of making the team if he's in this camp. Conversely, if he went to do what Jaron Duran did with Team Mexico, which is play a smattering of games and have a good time, and then next thing you know, Ramiel Tapia is making the team.
Right? Well, especially if it's what Duran did, because he basically sat on the bench for the entire WBC with Mexico. Like, if you're playing, but at the same time, the eyeballs that if you're in Mikey Romero or anyone trying to make the team's position, the eyeballs you need on you are the ones in Red Sox camp.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So when you look at the WBC fellas, and I do want to talk about this for a second. I did talk about, speaking of Team Italy, great instincts by you. This morning, one of the things I did, why the hockey game was going on, I talked to Greg Weissert about the evolution of him getting on Team Italy and how his parents had to go into his grandparents' basement and basically make copies of like 40 different files to prove that he was eligible. But sure enough, he's going to land with Team Italy. You know, I think one of the biggest news of this week was Roman Anthony. He's making Team USA. And I want to get your guys' take on this because this wasn't a layup, man. Like, when Corbin Carroll got hurt, the names that you heard were legit names. And one of the ones that jumps to mind is James Wood. I'm like, oh, well, James Wood. People should understand, like, this guy has done more than Roman Anthony in the major leagues. He's probably just same level of prospect in a lot of people's eyes, but they pick Roman Anthony. What's your guys' thoughts on when that happened and we ultimately got word that Roman Anthony was going to be on Team USA?
Well, I think it's great for baseball in Boston specifically. There's a lack of star power on the Red Sox right now outside of Garrett Crochet, and if you put Roman Anthony in the mix with those names on Team USA, that is step one of many to making this kid into a superstar, the player that we believe he will eventually become. So I think it's great. I hope he gets playtime. I hope he's not just riding the bench. Not sure what that lineup's going to look like. It's stacked, like I said. But I'm excited for Roman Anthony. It seems like he's excited for the experience as well.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the roster right now. You look in the outfield. Roman Anthony is going to be competing with Byron Buxton, P. Crow Armstrong, Aaron Judge. Those are the other three outfielders. So I agree. Like, if you're a Red Sox fan, Roman Anthony being on Team USA is super cool. The number three Anthony jersey, super cool, super clean. We do need
that's
this.
All you care about.
It's a cool jersey, but we do need this guy to be in the games. Like that's not, you don't want another Jaron Duran 2.0. And I know Duran ended up having a breakout season that year. So how much does it actually matter? But we want to see this guy play. Like, not just because it's spring training and oh my god, baseball's been gone for so long, and I want to see the best Red Sox players play, but he's more than capable of being that guy, and his rookie season, I'm pulling up the last. But, yeah,
well,
he was incredible.
Well, let me throw this out at you, because Sammy may mention this, and it made me think. Sammy, I think that we're going to look back at this show and see how far you've come as a human being and a baseball analyst. Because already an hour and a half in, you've already like you've gone from what to, oh, interesting. And what you said was sort of like this, the face of, I forget how you phrased it, but Roman Anthony, where he is, what, how he's being perceived, not only in the world of baseball, but in the world of Boston sports. And this, the always conversation of who's the face of Boston sports. And Roman Anthony really wasn't on the radar. It was a nice story, and he's a nice young player. But here we have him. He's playing for Team USA. He's probably going to play more than Jason Tatum did for Team USA, by the way. Excellent pull by me. But he also is hitting leadoff. And as we said, in this day and age of baseball, when you're hitting leadoff for a team like that, you are perceived as the be-all, end-all. You're the Shohei Ohtani. You're the Aaron Judge. You're the George Springer. You're the whoever. This is how baseball works. It's no longer the third or fourth guy is the alpha. It's the guy leading off. So when we look at Roman Anthony, the nice guy doing a lot of interviews, you know, seems to have his head on straight and everything else, but is he going to be the guy who is the face of Boston sports?
Face of Boston sports is tough. I think he can be on the Mount Rushmore, the current
Mount
Rushmore.
No, that doesn't count.
Okay, then no. Then no. It's
you took
be tough,
a step back.
Tough to beat Drake May. I'm sorry. Tough to beat Drake May. Tough to beat Jason Tatum. I think he'll be up there. But
who will have a better year at the end of the day, Drake May or Roman Anthony?
Oh, come on.
If Roman Anthony finishes, I just got up my first from Will Fleming.
Spring training has officially begun.
If Roman Anthony finishes top two in the MVP, we'll all be pretty
it's
happy.
It's Drake May. Like, come yeah, on. Don't make us answer this. It's Drake May.
No,
it's going to be great.
I'm saying, like, what happens if Roman Anthony tears it up in the postseason,
okay,
right?
Then he'll be...
Because Drake May didn't tear it up in the postseason.
But no. Drake May made it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So if Roman,
yeah,
if,
and
if
he was terrible
Sox,
in the Super Bowl.
But there's something to be said about being the quarterback of the Patriots. It's very Roman Anthony would have to do something unbelievable.
If Roman Anthony is top five in MVP, okay, who – because that's, I think that's, you know, that's more difficult. And hear me out. And the reason it's more difficult is because you basically, if you're in the MVP conversation for the NFL, you're a quarterback. That's it. That for the Roman Anthony, that you have to compete against every position. So if you're a top five in MVP, you carry the Red Sox to the postseason. You do well in the postseason. Could Roman Anthony be more of the face of Boston or be the face of Boston sports over Drake May?
It would have
to
be historic.
I know that people who don't pay attention to this stuff, which is I'm not going to name names, but they'll just say, oh, no, of course not. That's stupid. That's a ridiculous comment. But I'm telling you, like, this is how this guy is positioned right now, starting with a T-shirt gun that is playing for Team USA.
I mean, I don't think it's impossible. It's just that Drake May is, again, he's a quarterback of the Patriots. That's it kind of starts there, and it's tough to get past that. As much as I love Roman Anthony, it would have to be something, like you said, Brad, for a top five MVP finish and then a great performance in October, and that would get him close. It's just tough for me to put him over Drake May. In my eyes, he's number one. That's all I care about. Red
in
Sox.
My heart.
Yeah, him and Crochet. But in the eyes of your average New Englander, the quarterback of the Patriots who just won the AFC, that's
I mean,
tough.
You look,
I don't know. Top five at MVP changes the conversation a little bit.
I agree.
There's room for both these guys to be the alpha. Like, you look at the 20-year or however long it was. I mean, David Ortiz would dominate the summers, and Tom Brady dominates the winters, and these guys are both the kings of Boston.
We do kind of have a nice, like, four big star players on all these teams with Drake May, Roman Anthony, Jason Tatum, and Pasternak. It's pretty nice. Nice to have.
Wait. Okay, maybe that's the better conversation because we understand with the quarterback of the New England Patriots it's different. Fair or not, it's different.
Yes.
But if you're looking at where the Roman – if Roman Anthony – could Roman Anthony surpass Jason Tatum? I'm not even – he's already surpassed Pasternak. I'm sorry. He just has. Like, that's it's just what it is. So, you don't think so?
I think it's very close. Tatum, he might have a chance to pass just because Tatum hasn't played all year.
No,
who knows when he's coming back?
Tatum's a champion, though.
That is
true. You can't. That's the thing. Is like, I don't know. Maybe Celtics versus Red Sox. If the Red Sox are the bigger team at a given time, you could talk about it. But to me, if you're comparing the two guys, you've got one that's however many time All Star and a champion. You can't just
Hey, two-tone Tom.
What's going on?
What are you weighing on this?
Tatum 1, May 2, Anthony 3, Pastrnak 4. Tatum's a world champion. He's never missed the playoffs. He's been to the Eastern Conference Finals 5 times in his career, two NBA Finals. Drake May, as the Patriots quarterback, has the easier path to being the face of Boston sports because you're the quarterback of the biggest team in the city. It makes sense. But he was bad in the playoffs. He's in his second year. Tatum, year 8, champion, Eastern Conference Finals MVP, should have been Finals MVP. It's Tatum all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
You know? All right, listen, that was well said, well articulated, excellent job. But now I want to go to the calls to get some of our family members who are calling in right now. David in the car. What do you got, David?
So, guys, it's not even a question who's number one. Drake May, a team that was not expected to get what they got. Then not only did they won the AFC, they went to the Super Bowl, so they lost. They had a bad game. The fact they even got there, that's amazing. That is beyond what it took Tatum. Anybody who says Tatum or Roman Anthony to be a pass or before Drake May, I'm sorry, you're smoking the funny stuff. You're doing something because you are completely out of your effing mind, period.
I'm with David. David's right.
That's the thing is, the truth of the matter is just being the quarterback of the Patriots gives you such a leg up. And when you take that to the level that Drake May took it to this year, second in the MVP, goes to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's practically impossible to unseat that.
And with Roman, we're mostly talking about potential here. We haven't seen a
right.
ton of him at the biggest
I'm projecting
level.
This. I'm projecting it.
You're saying so the entire conversation is under the context
so
of if he
I'm
has
looking
a huge
at, I'm
season.
Looking at AL MVP odds right now, which I think is probably a good jumping off point. All right, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to list the players ahead of him right now, Roman Anthony ahead of him, who have better odds to win the AL MVP. And you tell me if this is fair or not. Okay? In your guys' view?
Yep.
Ready?
Let's go.
Aaron Judge, number one, plus 185.
Fair.
Bobby Witt Jr., plus 450.
Fair.
Cal Raleigh, plus 700.
Fair.
Gunnar Henderson, plus 1400.
Fair.
Unfair. Julio Rodriguez, plus 1400.
Fair, that's fair. My pick to win.
Nick Kurtz, plus 1,500.
Ooh. Not fair because he's not going to collect enough war because he plays first base, yeah. So the nerds won't vote for him.
Vlad Guerrero Jr., plus 1,500.
Same thing.
Ooh. Jose Ramirez, plus 1,600.
That's fair.
And then yeah. You get Roman Anthony at plus 2,000. Wow. Junior Caminero right behind him at plus 2,500.
Plus 2,000 with the amount of games he's played is unbelievable. That's not a knock on Roman at all. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
All right, well, put your money where your mouth is. All right, speaking of which, we have bet that this is going to be the best show you've ever heard, and so far we're paying off on that bet. 617-779-7937. I want to continue if people want to still weigh in on how they view Roman Anthony, because I think that I get that. Like, I'm not blind to the fact that Drake May is the be-all, end-all. If you have a good quarterback, he's always going to be at the top of the list. But I'm more interested in the perception of Roman Anthony, especially now that he's got this cachet that he has at Team USA. And the other thing I want to get to, guys, after the break is I don't know, this should be almost a segment, like the polarizing world of Tristan Casas. This guy's unbelievable.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is unbelievable, and I forget who gets upset every time I call him polarizing, and maybe it was Allison. I don't know what it is. But there is no more polarizing player in Boston sports. That I know. That is a fact, right? You would agree with this?
Yeah, it shouldn't be, but you're correct.
Right. But when you put up, and we have been putting up all these videos and everything else of him running and jumping and fielding and everything else, and whether he's in a ski mask or whatever it is, people are just freaking out about this guy. So I do want to talk. I want to resurface and get into the weird and wacky world of Tristan Casas, where we're at with him. Has your perception changed of him? It's like we could do 5 hours on Tristan Casas, but we're just going to start talking about him a little bit after this break, again, along with how Roman Anthony's perceived. There is so much to get to here in the Baseballs and Boring Show. Gordo, Sammy, Play Tassie podcast with us, and Tom Behind the Glass. Be back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Baseball is a boring show. We're going to be on with you till 1 o'clock. It's great. I'm at JetBlue Park. My name's Rob Bradford. I'm watching a bunch of Toronto Blue Jays players take batting practice, milling about. Fans are now filtering into JetBlue. It's a glorious day. And just an update on some of the people you'll be hearing on the great broadcast that's coming up. Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione on the call. Blue Jays have brought. Ready, guys? You ready? Brace yourself. Gordo and Sammy are play testing. Brace yourself.
Braced.
Who did they bring from Dunedin?
Was it Vladdy?
No.
Yep, he's here.
No, he's not. Can you imagine? No.
Kevin Gausman pitching?
No.
George Springer was really good last year. He must be here.
Yeah, Alejandro.
No. The last time I saw the Blue Jays, these uniforms, I was in the middle of one of the most iconic moments I've ever experienced in baseball history, and that is Game 7, feeling so bad for those people. But no, none of those – there is one player who participated in that game who is here. One player. I don't even know if – I can't even remember if he played. One player who's on that team, that roster, the Game 7 World Series roster, who is here.
I was going to take a stab and say Ernie Clement, but you would know that he played in that game, so it's not Ernie Clement.
Is it Andres Jimenez?
No.
Nathan Lucas.
No.
Miles Straw.
Miles Straw. Ding, 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 ding.
Miles Straw. That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
He faced Roky Sasaki at some point in the World Series, and I thought that was –
he's the guy
I enjoyed
who,
that at the time.
He jumped into the crowd at Yankee Stadium and tried to, like, assault all of the fans.
Yep, there you go.
Miles Straw. There's all our Miles Straw fun facts.
And in terms of the potential other people who are there that you might know – Eloy Jimenez here in the minor league deal.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
The breakout is coming.
All right. Well, and as we said, Connor Siebold makes his triumphant return. Connor Siebold, of course, came over in the what trade?
The Heath Hembree and Brandon Work.
Yes.
And
with
Pivetta?
Nick Pivetta, yeah.
Nick Pivetta. Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Nailed it.
There you go. All right. Well, like I said, I'm setting the scene here, and you're going to have more scene setting with Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione coming up. It's going to be an awesome broadcast, just like it was yesterday, where we're going to go through all spring training. Everybody listen in, because there's no better way to digest the great game of baseball than by listening. Let us paint the picture, the clouds in the sky, the sun above us. You guys know. You've been to spring training. You've been to spring training, right? Correct? Yes.
Yes. All right. Science suggests we have been.
So, yes, science suggests. Well, you know, it's just a few weeks away. Just a few weeks away. I hope everybody is soaking in this show. We'll be soaking in listening to baseball, to all the reporting, all the podcasts and everything else. I want people to feel like better weather is around the corner. I'm that type of person, guys.
I need that.
How nice of you on the eve of this massive blizzard. Thank you, Bradfo.
Yeah, okay. You're welcome. All right, well, I made mention, you know, we made mention of how Roman Anthony is going to be viewed. But speaking of another guy, how he's going to be viewed, well, that's Tristan Casas. And I almost forgot about Tristan Casas, about his existence and the reaction to him until we started posting the videos of him working out. And I don't know how you guys felt, because correct me if I'm wrong, I think the perception of Tristan Casas heading into this spring training was, we're not going to see a lot of him. He's not going to be ready to play, and he's not going to be part of the opening day equation. So it's not really, you know, that's not part of the equation. It doesn't matter. But then we start seeing him, and you see him first in the Spider-Man outfit. So again, you're reminded Tristan Casas is a unique cat. But then you see him moving around and fielding ground balls and doing baseball things. And you're starting thinking, wait a second, how is this guy going to impact the 2026 Red Sox? So I ask each of you, Gordo, you can go first. For you, in the last, seeing the whole Casas thing over the last, play out in the last week or so, has that changed your take on him at all?
No, it hasn't, because my take has kind of remained the same. I still, even though he looks really good, I mean, he talked about being about a week and a half from maybe running the bases and sliding and doing all those things. Then we talk about getting into games. It makes me think maybe he could be ready earlier in the season than I thought. But in the end, my take remains the same, is if you want to look for sources of power on this team, look no further than Tristan Casas. And it's a big season for him, and tough coming off that injury. But if he can be the Tristan Casas that he was in 2023, the one that we thought we were going to get last year and hopefully still could get, I mean, by the end of the season, if he's that power source, maybe he's not going to hit 30 home runs because he's not going to play enough games. But if he can find a way into that lineup, like, there's your best chance right there for a legitimate power bat in the Red Sox lineup. Like, look no further than Tristan Casas.
And Sammy?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Gordo here, but I will answer your question with another question, the Cardinals' sin, Bradfo. Where is Casas going to play if he is ready? Because Wilson Contreras is going to play first base, and then DH seems like it's going to be Jaron Duran as the main guy, maybe swapping here with Roman Anthony, left field DH. Where would Casas even play?
Plus, well, Massa after that, too.
I mean, same thing you can say with Yoshida right now. Yes. I mean, it's basically what you did if Casas is going to play or ready to play. You've taken one guy on the outside looking in. Now you have two guys on the outside looking in. There's no way else to look at that. There has to be some roster maneuvering. But I guess my takeaway from the Casas stuff is I go out here and I watch him do things, and I'm like, it seems like he's ready to play, man. Like, the way that he's pushing his body, moving around, and I know that the last thing is sliding and sprinting, but if you look at him maneuvering around, like jumping and leaping and whatever he's doing, he's actually not jumping and leaping, but he's feeling his position. There's no hesitation at all. That got me thinking. And I know what they're going to do. They're going to slow play it. They're going to go to say, hey, go to rehab in Worcester, which is going to be a code for go prove you that you can hit in Worcester, and then we'll go from there. But if you get to the end of April, let's say, and he's playing in Worcester, and he's hitting the crap out of the ball, like, that's hard to ignore, especially for a team that needs that skill set.
Right. That's it right there. And that's where it's going to get to be such an interesting conversation. If there's no injuries and the team is okay, but you can tell that they're super power deficient, and Tristan Casas is hitting in AAA and he's hitting home runs and he's obviously healthy and ready to go, it's like, can you even have that conversation to bring him up and put him in the lineup when, as Sammy pointed out, like, you've got Anthony, Rafaela, Abreu, Duran, and if you bring Casas up, it's going to be to play. And if he's going to play, it's going to mean unseating one of those guys. But if you need power, you need power.
Mm-hmm. The one thing Casas can't do is be a bench guy at any level. He has to be playing. I'd rather him in AAA hitting rather than sitting on the bench being a source of power for the Red Sox. I think that's a waste of his talent.
No, and guys, like, not only is he moving well, he's in good shape, man. Like, he's legit best shape of his life.
Oh.
I was going to say, does he have an unfair advantage in the best shape of our lives competition? Because he had he had more to overcome, more to work with, you could even say.
I think that's a disadvantage. You're starting from a hole. He had to rehab a leg. It's like you can.
He's got a higher ceiling, though. Higher ceiling and a lower floor.
Why does he have a higher ceiling?
Because if he overcomes the knee thing and gets in good shape, that's way more impressive than anything anyone else can do.
But you have to think about it literally. Best shape of your life. That means every day he's lived before the injury counts.
That's fair. If it's literal, then he's at a disadvantage.
Yeah, as the credo is, every single day I wake up, I'm in a better shape of my life.
A better shape of my life.
Although this morning I did not feel that way. Anyway, all right, we got calls lined up. I appreciate everybody holding on, but we do have to take a quick break. 617-779-7937. There's a ton to talk about. We got one more hour to go. Gordo, Sammy, a play Tessie, Tom behind the glass. It's a great time to be alive. USA won the gold, and we also have the Monasterio home run call. We got it all. We all on the tape. And the Mikey Romero two-run hit, by the way. I know you guys are impressed with that. I don't know if you know this. He fought back from 0-2, went to 1-2, and then boom, he got the hit. Right? Correct?
Incredible. Off of that second baseman's glove, whose name I remember.
Yes.
I've already forgotten it.
All right. Hey, everybody hanging on the phone lines, we appreciate it. Be back after this.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and, I hope, entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.